Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
The vision of the Truth Project, first and foremost, is that God will perform a deep transformation within the lives of those people who go through the study. But in the end, we know that that kind of a transformation only occurs when God does His work within the heart and mind of an individual.
That's Dr. Del Tackett. He's chief spokesperson for Focus on the Family's The Truth Project. It's a DVD-based small group curriculum. Now, the need for something like this is undeniable. Christians today, by and large, have ceased to think like Christians in areas social, moral, and theologically. And something like The Truth Project is greatly needed. A long-time associate of this program, Dr. John Warren Montgomery, has been doing this at a higher level where he has been trying to help Christians continue to think like Christians have thought and to think like Christians do. So we're going to talk a little bit about this DVD-based small group curriculum called The Truth Project from Focus on the Family with someone who's actually used it in the congregation. Pastor John Ferguson of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis joins us here in studio for the first half hour of this Tuesday afternoon's Issues Etc. It's September the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us with questions or comments, talkback at issuesetc.org, or if you're following us at Twitter, our address, at issuesetc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us in the second half hour to talk about what we usually talk about with her, teaching a Sunday school lesson today. We'll pick up where we left off last week. Solomon builds the temple. And then in the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us. We'll talk about this weekend's Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C., what happened there. Robert Spencer will join us. There's a Muslim prayer gathering taking place Friday in Washington. Muslims from all over the world, they say, will gather for prayer. And that should, I guess any time Muslims are getting together for prayer, it might be of a bit of concern. Robert Spencer, author of 9 books on Islam, including his latest, The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Quran, will be our guest to explain what's happening there and how are we to understand Islam in the American context. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Pastor John Ferguson is a regular guest. He's associate pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis, and he recently used The Truth Project teaching a Bible class at Peace Lutheran where he serves. John, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Let's talk about the need for something like this to begin with. What deficit, if you will, is something like The Truth Project trying to address among Christians?
In America today, we have the average person's become so compromised by the media saturation that we have and the prevailing views that come through that media, that we tend to lose our way. We've lost our way from what God says in Scripture on how His children are to live and act and what their perspective ought to be on the different things that they encounter in their daily lives. We lose that perspective of God's, and we embrace the perspective of the culture. And Del Tackett, in working through The Truth Project, trying to address some of the main areas where this is a problem for most Christians.
So what are those areas in a nutshell? What kind of subjects is he trying to reorient the Christian mind on?
Well, a couple different ways of going about it. He begins with some foundational issues, truth versus lie, philosophy, the problem of evil and man. Who is God? And then he moves into more subject areas and spheres of life that we deal with. He talks about science. He talks about the law. He discusses family, the state, America in general. He talks about labor. So we and the church. So we have these different, what he calls spheres of life, and what God designed them to be, and how God designed them to function, and then how instead our culture and our human desires and views have distorted that.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about the strengths of not only in its goal but in its execution, the Truth Project. But is there any weakness to it that you found as you used it teaching your people?
There is one kind of key weakness to it, and I understand a little bit why it's there, but it's still there. And the weakness is that it does not have but just a few traces of the gospel within the program, which I think he's trying to address a worldview perspective from God's view on these issues. And so he's trying to meet as many Christians as possible. And so he's keeping it kind of as generic as possible in that way. But he has lost a key principle there in losing the gospel in most of his discussion.
Why is that a problem? Why is it a problem to have a curriculum like this that clearly and biblically lays out God's will, as you say, kind of God's will in creation, absent the clear message of Christ's entrance into creation to redeem all mankind through his death and resurrection?
Well, one way you can define the law is that it is God's will for creation, that from the beginning of the world, God set things in motion, not only physical things like gravity and that stuff, but moral law, that it was there in creation. And then when we fell, we no longer walked within that law. We rebel against it. And so we're showing that God's will for creation here with the Truth Project. But the problem is, because we are sinners, we recognize our rebellion against it. And this does a good job of highlighting that. But then where do we go from there? If this has become an indelible part of my life, where I've been kind of entrenched in these different false teachings and lies of the devil and the world and my own sinful flesh, where's my hope, though, other than just kind of pulling myself up by my bootstraps and trying harder now that I have more knowledge? How does that affect my relationship with God? And can I still have a good relationship with him if I've bought into all these lies?
Okay, give us an example of how the Truth Project does a good job of presenting and teaching God's will for creation. A specific example.
Okay. One that stands out is in the discussion about family and the sphere of family. He talks about divorce. He speaks very eloquently about the chaos that divorce creates within our culture, within the family unit, causes us to discard the family unit, and all the hurt and destruction that brings about. And he shows that in God's perspective that unlike how we say, oh, it's okay, it's no big deal, that God hates divorce, that God recognizes being sinful. Jesus also says it's a sin. You don't divorce. And he just kind of leaves it there, though. And that becomes the problem, is he convicts us through Scripture. He convicts us. Adele Tackett convicts us through Scripture. He convicts us through listening to some of the leading people in apologetics today, that this is the case, that God hates divorce. But then he never gets to the fact, okay, well, what if I am divorced? What is my hope if God hates divorce and I've been divorced? How do I reconcile that with God? And we never get to the fact that Christ's love and Christ's forgiveness and salvation he's won for you is bigger than your divorce.
You mentioned that one of the strengths of the Truth Project is also that it brings, through the DVDs, through the video, it brings to, in a very accessible way, to laypersons, not only knowledge, but kind of brings along the expertise of these big names in apologetics. I mean, we're talking about Issues Etc. style guests in this thing.
Oh, very much so.
Who are some of them?
The ones that are most often on there are Oz Guinness, R.C. Sproul, Ravi Zacharias. Especially for the science one, you have Stephen Meyer on there discussing intelligent design. So you have these key figures out there discussing all these different areas very eloquently.
As a pastor, I mean, pastors find themselves being jacks of all trade and master of none. This is the kind of thing that I think the average pastor says, look, I don't know how to deal with intelligent design with my people. I'm no expert on this. Was it helpful for you to have someone kind of explain it to the lay people?
Yes, and this is not just some kind of guy standing at a podium, you know, with a bad, fuzzy video quality. This is high quality, high production stuff. It's really eloquently written and presented. The production value is very, very high. They get to the heart of the matter in every lesson. They make the most of the hour that they give you. It's my people came away every week at the end of each lesson just kind of shell-shocked. The amount of information, the perspective change it gave them was very profound. I think it had a profound effect on several of our people. But again, we always had the question come up, and then, but where is Jesus in this, or how's our understanding of the gospel interact with what we've heard?
We're talking with Pastor John Ferguson, Associate Pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis. He recently used the Truth Project. It's a small group curriculum produced by Focus on the Family, based on DVDs, as a Bible class at Peace Lutheran Church, evaluating it for its apologetic value, its teaching value within the Christian congregation. Are you familiar with the Truth Project? Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, September the 22nd. 1-877-623-6943. You can email us with questions or comments on the Truth Project. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org or Twitter us @issuesetc. When we come back, 10 more minutes live this Tuesday, September the 22nd, with Pastor John Ferguson on the Truth Project. Then Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll talk with her about teaching a Sunday school lesson. Today, Solomon builds God's temple. Stay tuned. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. At our website, issuesetc.org, click Promote, the Issues, Etc. 300. Well, if you stop and think about it, I catch myself all the time, believe me. As much as I deal with in matters of theology and a Christian worldview, I find myself unwittingly capitulating to the way that the culture thinks, to the way that the modern mind thinks, to the spirit of the age. in the things I say, in the assumptions I make. And there's a need for that constant correction of Holy Scripture, reorienting our mind toward God's perspective. That's part of the goal of the Truth Project, the subject that we're dealing with Pastor John Ferguson here on Issues Etc. for the next 10 minutes of the program. You said before the break that after a lot of these sessions, the people you were teaching in Bible class were blown away. What do you mean by that? Give us an example of how they kind of found their minds reoriented.
Okay.
After seeing God's perspective on these things.
Sure. One great example was we were talking, I think it was the third lesson, talks about evil and man, and it contends with the claim that man is basically good, and if you just get enough of the obstacles out of his way, he can achieve some kind of great and noble manhood and humanity and life, and everyone can get along, which is prevalent in our world today. Our teachers are taught that way. Abraham Maslow, maybe some of the listeners are familiar with that. Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Basically, every teacher that goes through a teaching program learns Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where if you just get the person food and shelter and clothing, and then you give them affirmation and you just kind of build it up and knock away all their negative obstacles, man will flourish, man will grow, he'll become his best. But the Bible speaks contrary to that. The Bible speaks very clearly, man is evil because of the fall. We are in rebellion against God and we'll only be self-serving. And because of that, then we actually need checks and balances on ourselves, because if we have everything handed to us, what we do is we manipulate it for our own ends and not for the betterment of our neighbor. And a lot of the way he says it, the way he structures it, really gets to the heart of a lot of the suppositions our culture takes about man being good, and dismantles them through God's perspective. And it was really eye-opening for a lot of our people.
So whether a layperson is familiar with Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs or not, he's going to have these presuppositions that may be, unexpressed or unarticulated in their own mind, challenged.
Right, or, things that they've been taught but never really thought about. Man's pretty good. I'm a pretty good guy. That's just about every person's view in America. And to have someone come and say, no, that's not it, and let me show you how that doesn't work as eloquently as Del Tackett does is really something to be applauded.
You you deal with Christian lay people all the time. Do you think something like this is necessary across the board? I mean, we talk about the young people being schooled in the way of the world's thinking and kind of assume that the older among us still hold a Christian worldview. What do you think of that?
I think every age needs this. We had every age just about in working with this so far, and they've all been affected by it. And part of that's because this stems back, and Del Tackett shows this very well, stems back to the Enlightenment and stems back to Darwin and fundamental changes in where man fits into his perspective on the universe. And once man kind of becomes the center of the universe, then everything gets skewed. And the problem is, even our oldest people have lived in that mindset and era and have been affected by that. And so whatever age you are, this applies to your fundamental thinking as American.
It seems that one of the biggest obstacles you might have to overcome in using a curriculum like the Truth Project is simply that issue of truth nowadays.
Absolutely.
There is such a thing as truth that is exclusive of all the errors out there. Is that an obstacle?
That is an obstacle, and he takes some time to try to deal with this idea of relativism, and he talks a lot. Ravi Zacharias is in there a few times in that lesson where he talks about relativism and philosophy, and he does a good job of showing that if, even the relativistic nature of people today still has to have some foundations. They still have truths that they cling to whether they admit to it or not. And he does a good job of showing us that we all have truths, whether we say them or not.
Did you find at any point, I mentioned coming out of the break, that this is almost a daily occurrence for me, that I am confronted with my own unwitting concessions to the way that the world thinks? And most people think, well, morally, but sometimes it's in these seemingly innocuous presuppositions that lie behind the things I think every day, they turn out to be lies. Did you find yourself confronting any of those in the course of using the Truth Project?
I did. Even you know, for pastors, this is even a good program. It helps us look at, because it covers so many different spheres of life, it helps us see spheres that we may not have even thought of. The fact that God is in charge of everything means that God has an effect on the laws of the land, that God is in control of government to some extent, and he's put that government in place. And for Lutherans, we have an understanding of that from Luther, but it's not always readily taught among our people either. And he goes about it very well, and that was the way he goes about it causes you to think, which is excellent.
Now, we started talking about it's kind of the glaring deficiency here, and that is the absence of the gospel. So how would you recommend, having done this with lay people, how would you recommend something, the Truth Project or something like this, be used pastorally so that although it may have this deficiency, its goal seems short of assuring people of the forgiveness of their sins, that not be missing?
I think the most important thing would be for the pastor himself to, one, watch the lessons, and then, two, come up with some supplements to what's available online for small group leaders, bring in some leading questions to add to it that can bring them around to the gospel. Because, as I mentioned before, there are things in there that convict people's hearts so strongly in their own lives that they've fallen for these things sometimes for decades, or they've been a part of these things in their lives, and they take it to heart, and they hurt because they recognize their failure in this, because he does a great job of convicting you of how you've bought into this stuff so readily. But now we have an opportunity to take it further and say, you know what? We may have fallen for the devil's lies here, but God is still bigger than the devil. God is still bigger than your sin. And you know what? He's so much bigger than that he died for it and wants to call you his child, and indeed does, through the blood of Christ.
Finally here, just a few minutes, we're really talking here about kind of intra-Christian apologetics. That is, being able to not only think the way the Bible gives us to think, but also being able to articulate it and defend it. And I sense, especially among Lutherans, where there had been kind of a hesitancy about Christian apologetics, perhaps Lutherans starting to realize, you know, that this is something that we may have, it's certainly something the Reformers used, something that we may have been neglecting, apologetics. What do you think?
I would agree with that. I think apologetics has its place. It's not going to be a substitute for law and gospel preaching. It's not going to be a substitute for learning your small catechism. But it does have its place in our understanding of how the Christian functions in a given society, how a Christian can speak about the truths of God against the lies of a culture. And not only can we speak against it, but even be aware of it. And for the Christian life, that's imperative. You see it in Acts, where the people live in that world but aren't of it. And that's what we're called to be. We're called to live in the world but not be of the world. And this is a great way to open our eyes to the disparity between the culture and who God calls us to be as his children.
Bottom line, the good, the bad, the ugly of the Truth Project?
It's one of the best jobs of expounding God's will for creation and the difference between God's perspective and man's in our current culture today. But I would recommend that, and I do recommend that we add the gospel to the lessons to make sure that our people aren't left despairing or in grief over their sins and the illusions that they've bought.
Pastor John Ferguson is associate pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis, where he recently used the Truth Project during a Bible class, this apologetic task. John, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure.
There is a tremendous need, because we are always, in some way, products of our culture, products of the modern mindset. Whether we be moderns or postmoderns or pre-moderns, whatever you consider yourself, you're a product of it. What does the Bible say? How does God look at us? How does he look at the world? How does he look at the issues that face us in our lives? to take the God's eye perspective is not only to understand what God wills for us, because all that will do is leave us ultimately far short of that will. There's no mistake about that. When to know what God wills is ultimately to know that we are on the wrong side of God's will and have been and will be. The God's eye perspective must include God's action to save us sinners, those who fall short of his will, who find ourselves on the wrong side of his will because of our sin and our rebellion, God's action to save us in Jesus Christ. We can't even really logically talk about a Christian worldview that does not have as its necessary key, its beating heart, Christ himself. We could say a generally biblical worldview that helps, that certainly keeps us from some of the major dangers of the culture, but a Christian worldview must have Christ and his cross standing at its center. Oh, it's what you'll find, by the way, in the scholarship that's represented in the Lutheran Study Bible. Jesus says, search the scriptures. That's a good thing to do, for in them you think you have eternal life. Well, when you search the scriptures with our Issues, Etc. book of the month for September, the Lutheran Study Bible, you'll find just that. Find out about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Solomon Builds the Temple.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out, get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
No consultants necessary. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A Ukrainian official has denied a request by pop star Elton John to adopt a 14-month-old boy while touring an orphanage of HIV-infected children with his so-called married partner. The singer said he'd like to adopt the boy, but his public statement didn't go well with the family, youth, and sports minister. He said the entertainer was not married, not by Ukrainian standards anyway, and he was much older than the limit allowed. It's refreshing to see an official stand up to politically correct agendas to protect children. This is the same Elton John who would ban all religion if he could. Ukraine doesn't seem to want children growing up in a home where religious bigotry is the norm, among other things. Adoption is great, but the first priority must be the child.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.